Today we begin Masechtas Avodah Zarah, which discusses the laws of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship. Of course, the sin of idol worship itself is from the most severe sins in the Torah. Among the cardinal sins for which a Jew must give up his life rather than transgress it, but there are numerous additional restrictions having to do with Avodah Zarah. And on top of that, there are rabbinic decrees having to do with idol worship, and the Masechta actually begins with one of those rabbinic decrees. So let's begin the Mishnah, which says, "Lifnei eidehen shel ovdei kochavim shloshi yomim." The halacha is that for a duration of 3 days before the pagan festivals, this means, you know, festivals on which idolaters actually, you know, worship an idol. Says the Mishnah, for this time the Rabbanan decreed aser laseis v'laseis imahem, that it is prohibited to conduct business with any of these, you know, pagan idolaters. In particular, selling things to the pagans during this time, and according to many Rishonim, even buying from them is included in the prohibition. It's also prohibited, lehashilan, v'lishol mehen, lend them something or borrow something from them, lehalvosan, or to lend a pagan money during this time, v'lavos mehen, or to borrow money from them, lepoiron, v'lifra mehen, or to either pay back a debt to them or to accept payment for some debt from them 3 days before the pagan festival. Now the Gemara will discuss the exact reason for this rabbinic decree. Rashi in the Mishnah brings the reason, and the problem is that 3 days before the pagan festival, idolaters are focused on their Avodah Zarah. They're shopping for their animal to use as a sacrifice for their idol. And so if a Jew benefits a non-Jew through some business transaction or a loan, whatever the case may be, that will likely cause the idolater to go and thank his false deity. So the Rabbanan said a Jew cannot do something that has a significant chance that it will cause somebody to go and praise his idol. The Mishnah brings the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who argues in one of the cases mentioned by the first opinion, Reb Yehuda Omer, that Nifrayin Mehen, there's no problem at all to accept a payment, you know, back for a loan from pagans even within 3 days of their pagan festival. Because it actually distresses a person to have to use up his money to go and pay back a loan. So being that there's no reason to believe that accepting a payment back from a pagan will make him, you know, particularly joyful, cause him to go and praise his idol, therefore it's not an issue. However, Amrulo, they, the Rabbanan, the first opinion, they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, that we disagree, for Afal Pisha Meitzer Hu Achshav, although you might be correct that at the moment, right now he doesn't feel good that he has to give this cash back to the Jewish lender. However, Sameach Hu L'Achar Zman, after a time, as she says, perhaps the next day, the person will be glad out of a sense of relief that he paid back his debt. And so we say that even accepting a payment from the pagan within 3 days of his festival is a problem, is prohibited. The Gemara begins by noting that there are two different versions of our Mishnah as far as how to spell the second word of the Mishnah. The word used to describe these pagan festivals, of course, as we have it in front of us, this word Eidehen is spelled with an Aleph. But the Gemara presents it, Rav Ushmuel Chad Tani Eidehen, with an Aleph as we have it, V'chad Tani Eidehen. But another of these opinions between Rav and Shmuel taught the Mishnah with an Ayin. And of course, with an ayin, the word would have the root of a testimony. The Gemara explains, "Man detani eidayin lamishtabesh." Man detani eidayin lamishtabesh. And neither version is incorrect. For in fact, you know, either of these versions, whether spelled with the aleph or the ayin, could be a valid way to refer to the pagan festivals. As the Gemara explains further, "Man detani eidayin lamishtabesh." The one who taught the version of the Mishnah in which this word Eidein is spelled with an Aleph is not mistaken. There's a clear basis for such a reading. Siv, the Pasuk says, regarding the idolatrous nations, Ki korov yom Edom, the day of Edom, of their destruction, approaches. And so meaning, the Tan of our Mishnah chooses the word Eidehem, rather than use the more typical word for a festival of Moed, in order to refer to these pagan festivals in a derogatory way, that it will be the day of their destruction, and they go and serve their idols. But also, man detani eidein lamishtabesh, the one who has the version where it's spelled with an ayin, that's not mistaken either. It would also be a valid way to refer to the pagan festivals of idolaters, the chsiv. It says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yitnu Eideyem V'Yitzdaku. The Navi says, let them bring their witnesses. They will then be made righteous. They'll be proven correct. And the Gemara at this point understands the pasuk that's meant sarcastically. That it mocks the pagan nations, saying, you know, let their false gods come and be witnesses to vindicate their idolatrous practices. According to this reading, Eideyem then refers to the idolatrous nations, so that's another valid way to refer to the festivals of the idolatrous peoples. The Gemara wonders, Uman detani Eideyem, maitem elotani Eideyem. Why didn't the opinion that taught it with an aleph agree that we could teach it with an ayin? What problem did he see with that reading? The Gemara says, Amar lach, this opinion would say to you, that Tavra Adif. In this version, where it's with an aleph, Eideyem, which carries the connotation of the destruction of the idolaters, is a better reading. It's important for the Tana to refer to the idolatrous festivals in a derogatory way, which is accomplished if you have the reading with an aleph, the day of their destruction. The Gemara now explains, Umanditani Eideyem with an ayin, Maitem Elotani Eideyem, why didn't he want to learn it with an aleph, like the other reading? The Gemara explains, Amr Lach, because this opinion would say to you, Man kagaram lehu tavro, what will be the cause of the ultimate destruction of the pagan nations? What will be the source of their downfall? He says, Eidus she'idu ba'atzman. That destruction will one day come about on a great day of judgment in which the pagan nations will be forced to acknowledge, to testify themselves about their evil and corrupt ways, and they served their idols. Hilkach Eidus Adifa. Therefore, this opinion argues it's more important for the Mishnah to allude to this testimony, the vehicle through which the destruction will come about. So it's better to have the reading with the ayin, and therefore it has the connotation of a testimony. But the Gemara questions that we said above, V'hai yitnu Eideyem v'yitzdaku b'yavdei kochav m'ksiv. But is it true then that this pasuk in Yeshaya, which says they're witnesses, that's referring to the idolatrous nations? But I, Habi Yisrael Ksiv. In fact, this pasuk refers to the Jewish people, to Yisrael. The Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Kol mitzvos she Yisrael osen ba'olam hazeh, bo'osu me'idos lahem lo'olam haba. All the mitzvahs that Yisrael performs in this world will come and be witnesses, will testify for them in the next world, in the world to come. The mitzvahs will create Malachim, angels who create testimony to the good things that a person did in this lifetime. He says, where do we learn this from? Shenemar, as it says in Yeshaya, Yitnu Eideyem V'Yitzdaku. The witnesses should come and testify and show their righteousness. Eli Yisrael, he says, it refers to the Jewish people. And so according to this reading, the Navi is not saying something in a derisive, sarcastic way. Not at all. The Navi is stating the fact that the good deeds performed by Israel will testify on their behalf in Olam Haba. Rabbi Shimon Levi interprets the next part of the pasuk where it says, V'yishmu v'yomru emes, they will hear this and say, emes, it's true. Here, Elu of the Kochavim, this refers to the idolatrous people who will be forced to acknowledge the truth of the mitzvahs performed by Israel, which will testify to their righteousness. So certainly the pasuk cannot serve as a source that Eideyem specifically refers to the idolatrous people. Therefore, Ela Amar Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua, instead of Huna, son of Rabbi Yeshua, explained, Mandi Amar Eideyem Mehacha. This opinion that has the version of the Mishnah where it's spelled with an ayin, bases himself on the following pasuk, which is also in Yeshaya, where it says, Yotzrei Fesel Kulam Tohu V'chamudeyem Bal Yoilu V'Eideyem Hema. Those who fashion their different idols, their statues, there's nothing to them. These things of their desire, their idols, they will be bayo'ilo, they will not do anything. The pasuk concludes, they are their witnesses. That is, the idols themselves will bear testimony to the evil practices of their adherents. So in this pasuk, clearly, the term Eideyem, witnesses, refer to the idols, to the idolatrous people. And hence, this opinion says that our Mishnah uses the term testimony, witnesses, in referring to the pagan festivals. The Gemara now presents some divrei agada that include the pasuk mentioned above of Yitnu Eideyem V'Yitzdaku. Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Darshan V'Tem Rabbi Simlai, or some say it was Rabbi Simlai, who presented the following. Le'asid Lavo. In the future there will be a day of judgment. And on this day, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah Menicho Becheko. God, as it were, will take a Sefer Torah and place it hold it to himself, to his chest. Of course, it's, you know, anthropomorphic terminology, v'yomer, and God will say, l'misha osak ba yavo v'yitos charo. Well, to all of the nations, whoever delved in this, in my Torah, shall now come and take his due reward. And at this, there will be a great commotion. Miyad miskapsin ubanov de kochovim berbuvya. All of the different idolatrous nations will come forward all at once. And there will be, you know, great disorder. The nations will not be separated from each other. It'll be one big, you know, chaotic mixture. Shenemar, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, kol agoyim nikpitsu yachtov. The Navi predicts, so all the nations will be, you know, gathered together. It's literally together, mixed together. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hashem will then say to them, Al tikonsu lefanei berbuvya, do not present yourselves this way, all mixed together. Ela tikonis kol uma ve'uma, turning to Amid Be'ez v'sofra. Rather, let each nation stand distinct, you know, separate from one another, with its scholars at front to represent them. Shenemar ve'yosvu le'umim. That pasuk Nishai continues, the le'umim will gather. And the Gemara explains, V'yein le'om el malchus. We know this term, le'om, is a term that we used to refer to a nation, a kingdom. Shenemar, as we find in the Pasuk, in Chumash, it says about Yaakov and Esav, le'om milom ye'ematz. One kingdom will overpower the others. One goes up, the other goes down. We see it's a term that could refer to the nations. And the Pasuk in Yeshaya is alluding to this future event where the nations will be forced to organize and, you know, stand each, you know, one nation by itself. The Gemara wonders about the purpose of this. It almost seems that, you know, God insisted that the nations organize themselves in order for him to keep track of, you know, which person is from which nation. But of course, such a notion is ludicrous. Is there any kind of confusion before the Almighty, before God? Obviously not. God knows everything, and therefore God will know full well, you know, which nation each person is from. The Gemara answers, Ella, rather, the reason why God will insist that the nations get organized, to separate into the different nations, is ki hechi delo be'arbavu inu ba'de'adadi lishmu mai d'amar lehu. Not for God's benefit, but for their benefit. It is that each possible defense for each particular nation that might be presented will be clearly heard. The people will not, you know, get confused, you know, who's claiming what, and which might distort, you know, what they're trying to say in their defense. Therefore, in the heavenly tribunal, you know, each nation will be, you know, clearly presented. As each makes its claim, it's understood, you know, which nation is claiming, and they'll have a fair shot at trying to defend themselves on the day of reckoning. The Gemara describes, Miyad nechnasa lefona malchus romi tchila, the first nation to present themselves, their defense before Hashem, will be the nation of Rome. The Gemara explains, my time, why does Rome come first? Mishum de Chashiva. Because this is an empire that achieved great prestige, was the most powerful of the great nations. We null in the Chashiva, and from where do we know this? The Chsiv. This is indicated in the Pasuk in Daniel, where he relates, you know, the metaphor of these four different beasts representing the four major empires, and in describing the empire of Rome, Pasuk there says, V'seichu kol ara v'sidushina v'sadkina. It will consume the whole earth and trample and crumble it. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Zu Romi Chayeves. This is the guilty empire of Rome. Shetiv yatsa b'kol olam. Well, the fact is, they dominated much of the civilized world. So they did, in that sense, you know, achieve greatness. And therefore, they are called upon to present themselves first to defend themselves on the day of reckoning. The Gemara explains further, Uminalan deman the chashiv al bereisha. Who says that when you're dealing with the court case, that the most prestigious one gets precedence? The Gemara answers, Kedir Rav Chista, as Rav Chista said, Dem Rav Chista. Chista said that the halacha is melech v'tzibor. Both the king and the community, other members of the community, are waiting for a judgment. They're waiting for the court to hear their case. The halacha is melech nechnas tchila ledin. The king's case is processed first, shenemar, as we can derive from the Pasuk Malachim Aleph, which says, Lasos mishpat avdo mishpat amo Yisrael. Pasuk says that Hashem will do the judgment of his servant and the judgment of his people Yisrael. His servant there refers to Shlomo HaMelech, so meaning the Pasuk is teaching this principle that the king's case is judged first. V'tayim amayim, what's the reason for this halacha? If you want, you could say, one possible reason is, that it's simply not appropriate for the king to be waiting outside, waiting for the commoner's case to be judged. Or if you want, you could say, the reason is that we ensure to have the king's case judged first, to avoid a divine anger that might be directed to the king when his possible missteps are being judged. That is, if we first judge the case of these other people, it might recall before God their sins, and thereby anger God, which will decrease the chances of God having the same amount of mercy when judging the king's case. And we need the king to have as much mercy as possible, for he represents the whole nation. So that could be the reason why the king is judged first. But coming back to this future event, that Rome had presented itself hoping to escape eternal punishment, hoping that they would be eternally rewarded. Amr Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will say to Rome, B'maya Saktim, what did you involve yourselves in this world? Omrim Lefanov, the Romans will say to Hashem, Ribon Shalom, Master of the Universe, Harbe Shvakim Takinu, Harbe Merchtso Sasinu, and Harbe Kesev Izav Irbinu. We built many marketplaces and bathhouses. We amassed great wealth, great silver and gold, and they will claim, "Vikula meloasino ela bishvil Yisrael kedeshi yisasku b'tara." We did all of that to facilitate the nation of Yisrael, your people, to enable them to study the Torah. Surely, the conveniences of a rich society make it much easier for the Jewish people to devote themselves to service of Hashem, when they don't need to take up as much time, worrying about their physical needs. So the Romans will claim that, look, you see that we facilitated the study of Torah, and that's why we did all of it. And therefore, we have a portion in this, and we are worthy of reward. However, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hashem will say to them, Shotim Shebaolam, fools of the world, Kol ma she'asisim l'tzarech atzmechem asisim. Everything you did was for yourselves. Tekantim shevakim lo'yishabon zonos. You created these marketplaces to station prostitutes there for your own pleasure. Merchatzos la'adein ma'atzmechem. You made bathhouses for yourselves to pamper yourselves. And your claim that, well, look how much wealth you amassed, and so the strong economy helped the Jewish people, and so you say you should be worthy of reward. Hashem says the whole claim is without basis. For Shelihu, all wealth, in fact, belongs to me. Shenemar li akesev li azov neum Hashem tzivakos, as indicated in Haggai, you happen to amass some wealth that had nothing to do with you. That was simply the manifestation of my will that your people should have a powerful economy. And Hashem will continue, Klum yesh bachem magid zos. Is there any person among your nation who can speak of this? Hashem will say, referring to the Sefer Torah, that he will be clasping. Shenemar has alluded to, in the pasuk there, and Yeshaya continues there, Mi bahem yagid zos. Who can speak of zos? V'in zos l'tara. The term zos refers only to the Torah. Shenemar, as we see in a different pasuk, says in the Chumash, V'zos ha-Torah shersam Moshe. This is the Torah that Moshe placed before the people. In other words, Hashem will say to the Romans, is there anyone from your people who actually had anything to do with upholding the Torah? Hashem will say, no, none of you have any legitimate portion in the Torah, and therefore you are certainly not worthy of any reward. And upon this, Miyad Yatsu B'Pachei Nefesh, the nation of Rome will leave dejected and downcast. Then Yatsas Malchus Romi v'nichnasa Malchus Paras achra. Next will come the empire of Persia, Maitaima. Why is Paras, why is Persia next? The Chashiva Basra, for that's the next most important nation. And we know then from where we know, Dechsiv. So again, going back to the Pasuk in Daniel, where it describes the metaphor of the four different beasts representing the four different empires. It says there, V'yaru cheva achari sinyana dam yiladov. The next beast represents one of the four empires, comes the bear. So meaning it's saying the second one is the bear. Although the first one there is actually not Rome, it's above hell. The Gemara above explained why Rome is on top of all four. But anyway, the pasuk here is saying that next comes whatever nation is represented by the bear. And what nation is that? V'tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained, Elu Parsim. It refers to the Persian people. She ochlin v'shosin kedov. We didn't drink like a bear. Misurbolin basur kedov. They have a thick, you know, a lot of flesh. They're nice and fat, like a bear. A megadlin seyar kedov. They grow their hair wild like a bear. Ve'in la menucha kedov. And like the bear, they never have any rest. And so Yosef explains the metaphor of a bear in this pasuk is a reference to the nation of Paras. And so they will step forward now and Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same thing. Hashem will say to them, Amai Saktim, what did you involve yourselves in this world? Amar Lefanav, they'll say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Harbi Gisharim Gisharnu, we constructed many bridges, Harbi Krachim Kovashnu, we conquered many cities, Harbi Muhammad Sasinu, and we fought many wars, Ve'kulam Lo Asinu, Ela Bishvil Yisrael. All of this was for the sake of Yisrael, Kadeshi, Yisaska B'Tara. For all of these things facilitated them in order to be able to better study your Torah. With the, you know, protection of the military and the bridges, helping them travel, going to the different cities to study Torah. So we have a portion in this. Amar Lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Hashem will say to them as well, Kol Ma She'asisim L'Tzorach Atzmechem Asisim. All of it was for yourselves. G'sharam L'Itam Emechas. You made bridges so you could collect taxes on the bridges. Krachim. And yes, you conquered cities, but why? Lasus Bahem and Garya. Merely to add power and wealth to your kingdom. To, you know, force the people of the conquered city to serve you. And as far as your claim about Milchames, that you fought wars which protected Israel and therefore enabled them to learn Torah, to this Hashem says, the claim doesn't begin. For Ani Asisi, I make all wars. I determine whether a war should succeed or not. So it didn't really have anything to do with your own, you know, military might. And so even if it was true that you were trying to help Yisrael, but you didn't really have any control over that aspect, your whole belief that, you know, you had the real control over that is mistaken. So again, Hashem says, Klum yesh b'chem magad zos. Are any of your people able to speak of, you know, their commitment to Zos, to this Torah, Sefer Torah that Hashem will be holding at that time? Again, Shenemar mi v'hem yagid Zos, as it says there, who will be able to speak of this? V'in Zos l'Torah. Zos means the Torah. Shenemar v'Zos l'Torah shesam Moshe. So we see from this other pasuk that Zos refers to the Torah, and once again, miyad yatsu milafon v'pachin nefesh. And so Persia will leave as well from the tribunal, dejected, downcast. The Gemara wonders why Persia even thought they might be successful here in their, you know, wishful thinking, their argument that, oh, it was all for Yisrael. Once Paras saw that this type of argument didn't work for Rome at all, my time, why did they even bother trying to present themselves and present this same argument? The Gemara answers, Omri, the Persians figured, Inu Sasri Beis HaMikdash, that maybe Rome didn't succeed here because they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Vanad Beninan, but we, Persia, the opposite. We actually helped rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The second bias was, you know, built under the authority of Koresh, the king of Persia. So they thought that in that, you know, merit, they might have more success here in trying to argue that they did help the Jewish people, and that should perhaps redeem themselves of their record of largely ignoring the Torah, ignoring, you know, upholding, doing what's right. And the Gemara describes further that v'chein l'chaluma v'uma, the process will be repeated for each and every other of the nations. They'll each come forward trying to claim that we did everything b'shvil Yisrael so they could study the Torah. Hashem will reject their claim and say it's not true. And so the Gemara wonders, v'chi mi'achar d'chazu l'kamay l'lo ma'ani v'lo midi. What about these nations? And once they saw that the nations before them did not succeed, why did they think that they might succeed? The Gemara says, Savri hanech ishtabdu bu Yisrael. Each successive nation thought that, okay, the nations that already stood judgment lost the case because they, in varying degrees, subjugated the nation of Yisrael. They weren't nice at all to Yisrael. But not only shibana b'Yisrael, each nation thought, you know, we didn't really subjugate them too badly. We didn't treat them too harshly, and so maybe we'll have a chance. Each nation will try. The Gemara wonders, Maishnahani the Chashivi, Maishnahani the Lo Chashivilu. Why is it that only Rome and Persia are identified by name in this account, as opposed to the other nations who have not been named? The Gemara explains, Mishum Dahanech Mashchi b'Malchusayo Dasi Mashicha. The answer is because these empires of Rome and Persia will last until the time of Mashiach. So that gives them a special prominence, special role in history, and therefore they are mentioned explicitly. The Gemara now tells us that the nations will present a new line of defense for why they did not, you know, do anything to fulfill the Torah. Omrim lefanim, they will say before him, before Hashem, Rabbanu Shel, Master of the Universe, Klum nosatalon veloki balnua. It's not fair. Did you give us the Torah? That would give you this rightful claim that, you know, why didn't we fulfill the Torah? You never gave us the Torah. The Gemara wonders about such an argument. Mi matzi lemei marhachi. How could the other nations make such a claim? Yaksiv, in light of, it says in the Pasuk, in Vizosa Bracha, Vayomar Hashem mi Sinai ba vizarach mi Seir lamo. It says Hashem came from Seir. He was also in Har Paran uksiv. And it says in Chavakuk, Eloka mi Teman yavo. God came from the south, from Paran. And the question in these Pesukim is, my boy b'Seir, my boy b'Paran. Why would God have been by Seir and Paran, the places of Esav and Yishmol, respectively? What's the special significance that Hashem was in those places? Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Melamed shechazira HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Uma V'Eloshon V'Elo Kibluha Ashebay Yitzel Yisrael V'Kibluha. It's teaching us that Hashem actually had initially presented the Torah to the other nations, like Esav and Yishmol. Hashem offered them the Torah, will you accept this Torah? And they did not accept it until God presented the Torah to Yisrael and they accepted the Torah. So how could the nations try to redeem themselves with this argument that you never gave us the Torah when Hashem did offer them the Torah and they rejected it? So the Gemara modifies the argument that they attempt here. Ella hachi amri. Rather, this is what they mean to argue. Klum ki balnua velo kai menua. Did we actually accept the Torah and then not fulfill it? No. Fact is, we never accepted the Torah, and therefore these commandments in the Torah were never binding on us. And that is their argument. The Gemara says it's still not at all a valid argument. V'aldat tvarton. This itself should justify their destruction, why they're guilty and deserving of punishment for Amayla Kabaltua. Why didn't you accept it? God offered you the Torah. He told you, this is the code to follow, accept it, and you rejected it. That itself is the problem. So the Gemara says this couldn't have been their claim either. So the Gemara modifies it further and says, Elakach Omrim Lefanav. This is the argument they're going to present before Hashem. Rabbanu Shalom, Master of the Universe. Klum kafis saleinu har kegigis velo kebalnua kemosh asisa liyisrael. Their complaint will be that it's not fair, for you didn't do as you did to Yisrael, to us, and the way you held Har Sinai over them. You held the mountain over the people, threatening them that if they don't accept the Torah, that you will drop the mountain on them, and they will all perish. This did happen by Yisrael Dechsev, as is indicated by the Pasuk, which says, Vayisyatzvu, Sachti Sahar, the people stood at the foot of the mountain of Har Sinai, Yom Rav Dimi Bar Choma, and Rav Dimi Bar Choma said, Melamed Shekofa Kadosh Baruch Hu Har, Ki Gigis Al Yisrael. The Pasuk alludes to the fact that Hashem took Har Sinai, lifted it off the ground, and held it over the people as if it were like a barrel, this container holding over them, ready to drop on them. Yomalem, and he said to them, Imatem mekabma satar mutav, if you accept the Torah, then fine. I will not crush you now. V'im lav shamtei kfuraschem. If you do not accept the Torah, then this is going to be your burial place. So meaning, even though, of course, the Jewish people said nasa v'nishma, they readily accepted the Torah, but there was also this element, this event, where God forced them to accept it to solidify their commitment further. So the other nations will complain, you didn't do that to us, and so it's not fair. Maybe if you would have, you know, threatened us like that, we would have accepted the Torah. And then maybe if we had accepted the Torah, we would have kept its mitzvos. Miyad Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, right away Hashem says back to this, that we can easily test your claim that you would have been committed to the Torah had you been forced to accept it. Harishonus Yashminu, your commitment to the first mitzvahs, the basic mitzvahs, the Sheva mitzvahs, B'nei Noach, that do apply to you, your observance of those mitzvahs will tell us whether your claim that you would keep all the mitzvahs if you had been forced to accept them is true. Shenemar, that Hashem will respond to the nations this way, is indicated by the continuation of the passage there in Yeshaya, where it says, Harishonus Yashminu, the earlier ones, the first ones, will tell us. So meaning of this argument that we can tell if what you're claiming is true and based on whether you observe the Sheva Mitzvos, meaning Sheva mitzvah shekibaltem heichen kiyamtem. Hashem will point out, did you fulfill? Were you careful to observe those mitzvahs? You were not. Therefore, there's no basis to your claim here that you'd keep all 613 if you were forced to accept those. Gemara wonders, from where do we know that it's true that the other nations did not fulfill the basic Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the basic moral code, very basic laws that apply to all of humanity, like don't murder, don't steal, don't do incest, don't do idols, etc. How do we know the other nations didn't fulfill these? The Tani of Yosef, Rav Yosef taught in a brisa, and Darshan Zipasig in Chavakuk, which says, Omad v'yimoda de'eretz ro v'yatir goyim. He measured the land and spread out the nations throughout the land. Says the Brisa, my Ra, what did Hashem see here? What's being described here? Ra, Sheva mitzvah shekibla lemine noach v'lo kima. Hashem saw that the nations were not fulfilling even the basic laws, the basic moral code, the Sheva mitzvah b'nei noach. Therefore, kivin shelo kimam, because of this, Omar v'yitiran lahen, Hashem therefore released them from the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Seems to be saying that when Hashem saw the other nations were not keeping Sheva mitzvahs, and so again that's the proof to what we said above, that they didn't fulfill them, thereby rejecting their argument. But the Braisa says, when Hashem saw this, He therefore released them from the Sheva mitzvahs. So the Gemara wonders about this. Itkuri itkur. What, they should be rewarded here? Imkein matzinu chote niskar. Seems to suggest that the sinner should get rewarded because they sinned, therefore they're no longer obligated in these mitzvahs. Doesn't seem to make sense. The Gemara answers, Amar Mar Berei de Ravina. He explains this is what it means. Continuing to Gimel Amud Aleph, Lomar she'afal pi she'mekayimin osanei mekabla leim schar. The Bryce is really saying is that when Hashem perceived that the nations were not even fulfilling these Sheva mitzvahs, these basic seven commandments, Hashem therefore said that even if their descendants happen to fulfill Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, they will not be rewarded for that. But not to say that they're free of these commandments. No, they will be punished if they don't fulfill them, but they won't be rewarded for fulfilling them because their forefathers just like didn't bother with them. The Gemara questions this suggestion that a person from the other nations would not be rewarded if he did something worthy, kept, let's say, the Sheva mitzvahs, b'nei Noach. The Gemara says, velo, would they not be rewarded if they did keep mitzvahs that applied to them? But I, Tanya, it says in the Braisa, we mayor would say, from where do we know that even if an idolater delves into the Torah, he studies those parts of the Torah that are relevant to him, he tries to gain a better understanding, let's say, how we could make sure not to steal or not to kill. How do we know that for doing that, for trying to learn to do what's right, that even this idolater is considered like a Kohen Gadol that sanctifies him, and he achieves a higher station? How do we know this is true? Talmud Lomar. We learn this from the pasuk that says, "Asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem." Person shall perform them, meaning the mitzvos, and live by them. And Rabbi Meir points out, "Kohanim Leviim v'Yisraelim lo nemar." Doesn't say that specifically someone from the Jewish people, a Kohen Levi Yisrael, shall live by them. Ela ha'adam. The pasuk simply says, "Man, a person shall live by the mitzvos." So therefore we learn, we learn therefore that, the Torah says, any person, even non-Jew, even an idolater, but if he practices the Torah, and part of the Torah that applies to him, then he shall live, meaning he will live even in the world to come, he'll be rewarded, he'll be like the Kohen Gadol. So from this it appears, not like what's suggested above, that there was this decree that non-Jews will not be rewarded even if they observe mitzvahs. The Gemara answer is that you're right. It's true that even an idolater could be rewarded if he does something worthy, if he does a mitzvah that he's supposed to keep. Ela lo merlach. But the teaching we were saying earlier is saying to you like this. She'ein mekabel maleya moschar kemitzuvah v'osa ela kemi she'ein mitzuvah v'osa. What happened was that the degree of their reward was lessened. That is, that since they weren't observing the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, Hashem said that from now on, if they do fulfill Sheva mitzvahs, well, they will be rewarded, but it's not going to be quite on the same level as being rewarded for a mitzvah that a person is actually commanded to do. When somebody is a mitzvah v'osa, someone was commanded specifically do that mitzvah and he does it, there's a greater reward for that than in doing something voluntarily. doing something just because he feels it's the right thing. So there he's like coming to it on his own. So there's not as much reward for that. That's what we're saying here, that by Avdei Kochavim, if they should happen to fulfill the Yeshiva Mitzvahs, it's Kamisha Eina Mitzvah Osa. It's like somebody who decides on his own to go and do a mitzvah. The Amar Bichanina from Bichanina said that Gadol HaMitzvah V'Yosa Yosa Mishayna Mitzvah Yosa. There's greater reward for the person when he was commanded specifically to do this mitzvah and he overcame whatever inclinations he had not to do it and he did it. There's greater reward in that as opposed to if he just did it on his own. So that's what we meant above, that the Avdei Kochavim now receive the lesser level reward of Neina Mitzvah V'Yosa if they do fulfill the mitzvahs that apply to them. But certainly, they still are rewarded.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.